Thanks for joining us. You're the keyboardist for Bon Jovi, right?
I have toured as a keyboardist with Bon Jovi. They have a regular guy, but I've been the second guy here and there.
I got you. Okay, cool.
Quite a few times, and worked with John for many years. My band is with a band called Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes.
So when did you, how did they reach out to you to take part in this charity event?
Well, I've been working with the Rock and Roll for Children since its founding, you know.
Oh, nice.
And off and on for 10 years. I've always worked. It seems like a lot of people are very charitable down in D.C. and Baltimore. I've done many charities for kids down there. And the head of this organization, John Belenke, has always reached out to us and my good friend Mark Rivera from the Billy Joel Band to like put together bands and bring our friends who play with famous people and sometimes famous people to come down and just to raise money for kids.
Nice, yeah. I literally just got off the phone probably 10 minutes ago with Ricky Bird from the Blackhearts.
Sure.
Yesterday spoke with the drummer from Bad Company, and now we got you on keyboard. It sounds like it's shaping up to be a nice little group on Saturday.
It's great, because we're all friends. I mean, I played with Simon Kirk from Bad Company. I played with him many times, did his record, did Ricky Bird's solo record, and like I said, we're just, you know, if we're not working, we like to go play and try to raise money for friends and, you know, kids, anywhere we can. We always have a good time with the music, and, you know, musicians are quite generous with their time, so...
Now, where are you based? I know you say you've taken part in this event down here for 10 years, but you don't live around here, do you?
No. I live in New York City.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for taking the time to come back down again. What makes you keep coming back? Is it just, I mean, the idea of kids? I mean, that's hard to turn down.
Well, that's always the initial, you know, reason. I mean, but obviously there's many, many charities for kids and many, many reasons and you know, other events going on. You develop friendships and relationships with people. Sometimes through being fans, and you just meet, and after a few years, they might ask you to do something, and you kind of try to weigh it and see if it's a good organization and reputable, and which this one is, and you just kind of, you know, you go where you're at sometimes, you know. That's really it. You just kind of forge relationships as you play, and, you know, meet. You get, the best thing about our job is we get to meet so many people, interesting people. And a lot of times these people have means to help other people. And so that's what we do too, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, man. You use the position of power you have through music to help out. Do you know any idea what the set list is going to be?
Well, we'll always play stuff from, you know, people that we work with. So, like, we have the lead singer for the Ted Nugent Band. Mm-hmm. So we'll do a couple, you know, Ted Nugent tunes, you know. We'll do some stuff from Billy Joel's band. We'll do... you know, we'll do stuff from, maybe we'll do some New Jersey stuff, like a Springsteen or a Bon Jovi or Southside,
right.
A number. So, you know, obviously Simon will do some Bad Company and free songs. So, you know, we tend to try to get some stuff from the people that we work with and work, you know, all these guys that are in the band have worked with many, many names, myself included.
Yeah.
So, we always try to make a connection, but at the end of the day, we just really want the people to have a good time and have fun, you know. And we get to work the crowd, you know, in between, and just meet everybody and just try to keep the good feelings and keep some money flowing to these Rock and Roll for Children Foundation. So.
Absolutely. And since you're sort of a veteran of this event, you know, you said 10 years?
Yeah, I've been doing for charities down in D.C. and Baltimore for over 10 years. I can't remember when Rock and Roll for Children Foundation was built, but I've done four or five things with John Belenke and his organization.
Gotcha. How does this event actually go down? Does it? I know there's also like a memorabilia auction, right?
Yeah, they sell all kinds of cool stuff. You know, I know they have a guitar from Coldplay and tickets and all kinds of pictures and, you know, things that you can bid on. And so you just auction it. So guys buy stuff for the man cave or the ladies buy something for the, you know, wherever they're going to put their stuff at. But a lot of guys like to buy the guitars and the pictures, you know. And obviously you can buy seats for shows coming up. And they auction it. You know, they're donated and they auction and they raise the money hopefully have a good time and enjoy the auction item too, you know. So that's really how it works, you know, just whatever it takes to raise some money.
Awesome. I want to ask you the same thing I asked the other two. With Simon from Bad Company, he had gone into, you know, when he was inspired to first play, and he was talking about, well, it started, we were talking about Shooting Star, the song, and he was saying about Paul Rogers wanted to say that the Beatles song Love Me Do, I think it was, but Simon wanted to do She Loves You. He didn't like Love Me Do as much, so that was a funny little story. And then Ricky Bird said that it was watching the Stones when he was a kid on the Ed Sullivan Show. What was it for you?
You know, it's funny. I'm a little younger than both those guys, with all due respect, but I'm not that young. But so I grew up with Bad Company being, you know, a staple on, you know, classic rock and everything. It was a high school. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts had, you were having the number one hits and stuff like that. So, I mean, I just got inspired by the radio and Rolling Stone magazine. I grew up in Ohio, and I kind of wanted to do that, you know, and how do I do that? You know, I just kind of moved to New York and fell in, and then I've got to work with so many of my idols, you know, and just recorded with Roger Waters from Pink Floyd. I just recorded with him over the summer and the fall. So, you know, I just kind of followed and tried to get in the best band I could in every town, and then and just things kind of took off for me as a sideman.
That's funny.
So just inspired by the radio, you know, by looking at rock stars, you know, when I was a kid, and I was a pretty good musician, but just kind of followed it, you know, just tried to get in the best band I could, you know, and see where it led me.
Do you have to pinch yourself now that you're on stage is playing with these very, you know, artists that you grew up listening to?
I don't take it for granted. I mean, obviously, it's my career now, so I've been doing it for 25 years, and I've lived in New York City for 20 years. So, you know, I've got to do a lot of cool things. Once in a while, I get to pinch myself. A couple times, on the David Letterman show, Paul Schaefer, if he got sick or something happened to him, I would sub for him.
Oh, wow.
So I got to do some cool things like that. I've been able to sing on TV shows. I've, you know, toured the world with Bon Jovi and other acts. And you know, once in a while, you have to pinch yourself, you know. There's no question about it. We play for 100,000 people in the stadium. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I just really enjoy playing for people, whether it's 250 people or you know, 25,000.
What's it so, like? What was it like filling in for Schaefer with on the Letterman show? I mean, everyone knows the show, what we see on TV, but what's something, you know, behind the scenes? How is it working with David Letterman as part of putting together a show?
Well, he's really he saves everything for the camera. So what you see on the camera is basically it. Doesn't really talk. There's no chit chat between he and the band or anything like that.
Gotcha.
He just sits at the desk. Sometimes he doesn't even chat to the guests and just waits for it. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
So that's an interesting thing to see. I guess he saves all the spontaneity for when the camera's on. You know, like during the break. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool to watch, though. I mean, that was my favorite show when I was a kid, you know, in high school and college. And when I got to do that, that was a pinch me moment, you know.
Absolutely.
So I did it about half a dozen times because he just doesn't sub very much. But it was good. I'll never do it again because he's probably never going to miss the show again, and the show's going to end in a couple months, right?
We'll see if Colbert wants you to come on.
Yeah, right? Everybody's trying to figure out what Colbert's doing, so who knows, you know? my buddies from the Southside, Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, our horn section maybe 15, 20 years ago went with the Conan O'Brien band, you know?
Yeah.
And they used to do that gig and still make our gig, but when they moved out to L.A., you know, we lost them. So,
yeah, and was it? Yeah, even Weinberg from up near you guys too, Max Weinberg. He went with Conan and all. Yeah, so
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He took our horn section a few years back, but
that was your horn section.
Yeah, like the guy, the goofy guy with the trombone and
all those guys, yeah.
La Bamba, yeah, those guys, the great musicians, and but they had to move to L.A. when they went out to take over the Tonight Show for a while.
Is La Bamba as goofy, you know, behind the scenes as he was on camera?
Yes, that's him. That's him. For the most part, that's him. I mean, he's smart, but he's goofy, you know.
Yeah.
But a fantastic musician, a great comic, you know, a great comedian kind of guy. He's just real pleasant, you know, and funny, and but all those musicians from Jersey and New York. You know, the world kind of gets, it's a small world, you know what I mean? So we kind of share gigs and friends and things like that, you know.
Talk about...
Max Weinberg played on many of Johnny's, Southside Johnny's records, you know, a couple of them. So, you know, it's kind of, we're all related up here.
was that before Bruce and the E Street?
Well, no, at the same time, because the guy who co-founded the Asbury Jukes with Southside Johnny, there's a guy named Little Steven from Bruce's band.
Okay.
So they all grew up together, you know, and kind of got famous together and worked with each other, you know, even while they're doing their own thing. Springsteen wrote, you know, quite a few songs for our band. This was before I was in the band, for the first three records for Southside Johnny. So they've, you know, they've always pitched in with each other and helped, you know. And musicians like to play with other musicians, you know, even when they're doing other gigs. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, I mean, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but talk a little bit about how vibrant and how much crossover there is just being in New York. Like you said, you've been there 20 years, but like you're saying, some bands will come on Conan when he was in New York, or, you know, now the Tonight Show is back in New York, and you went on Letterman and, you know, SNL band and all the stuff. But talk about why being in New York is such a vibrant place to, you know, you guys all work with each other in all different mediums, it seems.
That's a good point, you know. When you work with one guy, you kind of learn... You kind of meet, you know, his circle and your circle. You know, it's networking. You don't know you're networking, but, you know, if you go out and do a gig or you go on the road with somebody for 2 or 3 months, you become friends with that band and their friends. And, you know, it's a small world. So we recommend each other for things and start to see the same faces a lot, you know. So I went out to Los Angeles a couple of years ago to be on the Tonight Show with a girl named Crystal Bowersox, who was a runner-up at American Idol. Mm-hmm. And I walk out there, I knew half the band, you know, from working either recording dates or gigs and stuff. So that's kind of cool, you know. It's kind of goofy because, you know, it's just that's who your fellow colleagues and employees are. They just happen to have famous gigs.
What's something about... from your time playing with, we covered your other bands a little bit there just a minute ago, but talk about playing with Bon Jovi. How did you get recruited to play with them?
Well, the band I'm in, Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, that's John Bon Jovi's favorite band.
Wow, okay.
When he was coming up, he idolized Southside Johnny.
Gotcha.
Southside Johnny's like, they call him like the godfather of Jersey rock, you know. Bruce is the boss, and, you know, I forget these titles, but
right.
John Bon Jovi grew up going down to Asbury Park and watching the Jukes play. Mm-hmm. And Southside mentored him. So he would come, long story short, he would come to the gigs and see us. And then he started using me here and there for maybe like a charity gig, maybe something like this, you know.
Yeah,
we couldn't fly the whole band in, and then I did a little recording with him, and the next thing I know, I have a nice day tour in 2005 and 2006. He said, "Why don't you go on the road with me for a couple of years?" And I did, and it was great. And continued to work with him on his solo stuff, and you know, that's how that happened. So he was a big fan of the band I'm in, and that's how he saw me and said, "Man, maybe he could help out here."
Nice. What's something about working with Bon Jovi that no one knows from the outside? What, working with him behind the scenes, what's something that no one knows about him?
He's pretty much an open book, but I tell you what I did learn from him, really how to focus about things, is to, it relates to this. He's very charitable. Nice. He believes in giving back to the community. And I did many, many charity things with him. And he, you know, he puts his own money and his own time and his own brand, you know, to work. And I really learned that it's very important. I mean, I always knew it, but to see a guy like that, he could be selfless. If he started a restaurant that helps feed homeless people and people that need food, he would get in there and wash dishes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's selfless. He's a very, very hard physical worker. You know, he's not beyond doing dishes. That's one thing.
Nice.
Like if you, he's a neat freak kind of, you know, if you're in a green room or something and, you know, he takes his own dishes and cleans them, you know, he gets rid of them. So there you go. That's the deep, dirty secret of John Bon Jovi.
Or the clean, or the clean, tidy secret.
Yeah. He makes sure everything's clean. He's very clean and tidy.
There you go.
But he's not fancy. You know, he's not a diva. He's a cool guy. I think the world of John.
Awesome. Well, maybe a little of the charitable spirit rubbed off on you a little bit, because it seems like you've been doing a lot down here in the D.C. area. So we thank you for taking the time to join us, but more so for taking the time next Saturday to come down and raise money for kids. It's a really big thing of you to do, so thank you.
Well, it's going to be great. And by the way, it's a real honor to come down and help serve the community, because that community has been good to many of the bands that I've traveled and played, performed with. I mean, we'll be at the Birchmere in Alexandria in June, you know.
Yeah, I was just there a few weeks ago. Nice.
Yeah, so, and we always go to Baltimore and things like that. So, but it'll be great. So, you know, Saturday, March 14th, and we'll be at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Club and raise the money for Rock and Roll for Children.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time, okay, Jeff?
All right, man.